And turn to Romans chapter 16. I was trying to figure out, is on occasion when people are gone and they're doing this, I have to, on occasion, because they're out sick or whatever, I have to cover for a week here or there. And I used to just start in the next book that I was going to, and I thought, that is so hard because you start with an introduction and then you don't go anywhere. And so I thought, I gotta do this differently. So I started praying about it, and I thought, well, God, just give me something that could be like a one-time message. And so this one I titled, Marked for Identification. Marked for Identification. Let's read verses 17 through 19 of Romans chapter 16. It says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and far speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this opportunity this morning during the Sunday school hour. I pray, Father, that you would touch our hearts and that your word would go out and we would apply it to our lives, that we would share it with others. And Father, I just thank you for all that you're going to accomplish this day. Continue to use us to your honor and glory. Continue to draw us closer to you. Increase our faith. Continue to draw us closer to one another as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this passage here, the Apostle Paul says to mark those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned. It's always good to know what the Word of God says so we can mark those that are trying to teach us differently than what the Word of God says. Those who are trying to cause divisions. Anytime somebody's trying to cause a division in a church, you know that's not of God. It's pretty simple, right? And yet, why do people fall for it? Because people fall for it because people want their way, right? Instead of doing it God's way, they want their way. And so that's why we have divisions and offenses in churches, is because people want to do things their way instead of God's way. And then they're offended by God's way of doing things, and so they cause a problem in the churches. And so he says, make sure you mark those. In this lesson, we are going to look at why it's important that we do this, and we're going to look at some other things that we are to mark in order to accomplish this task. In the Word of God, the word mark is used several ways, and I want to just look at a few of those to start with, and we're going to look at some verses to back these up, and then we'll get into more of where we're going. But first one is Genesis 4:15. Genesis 4:15. And we're looking at for identification. For identification. So the word mark is used for identification in Genesis 4, verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. That word mark there is, he's set a mark on Cain to identify him. It's an identification mark there. And then look at Job 24:16. Job 24:16 says, In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. So again, for identification purposes. And the last one on that, I want to look at Revelation 13:16. says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Again, that's the mark of the beast. It would be an identification mark. It's for identification. And then to take note of, look at Luke chapter 14, verse 7. Says, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, in this case, it was to take note of, to take note of. And then the next one is, as a goal or prize, Philippians 3:14. That's a pretty common verse, Philippians 3:14. Where he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that's as a goal or a prize. And then connection with judgment. Look at Job chapter 10 and verse 14. Job 10, verse 14, he says, if I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. And then Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 22. Jeremiah 2:22, it says, for though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. So, just wanted to show how the same word is used differently in different scriptures. And too many times, I think, God's people, we go through the Bible and we see a word and we say, well, I know what that means already. And I know what it's talking about already because it's the same word that was used over here when it's got different applications, even though it's the same word. And in today's world, it's not very popular. No one seems to want to distinguish between anything these days. If you start distinguishing one thing over another, automatically what happens? They start chastising you as being racist or whatever the case may be, and they start labeling us because we want to mark them that are not going along with the Word of God. Those who are contrary to God's Word, we want to mark them. And so we're racist or discrimination against them and stuff like that. But the Word of God is the Word of God, and we need to stick with it. No matter what man says, we need to stick with the Word of God. Now, to clarify something, I was asked the other day, do we have to abide the speed limits? I said, according to the Word of God, yes. Right? Do we need to abide by the laws of the road? Yes. According to the Word of God, yes, we do. Right? Well, what if I don't want to? Doesn't matter. You're supposed to. Right? So we need to do that. We need to be a good example for others. And what happens? We get called out because they don't like the fact that, you know, I know they love me when I'm on the road because they come just racing up behind me, the headlights start flashing on and off. I know they're irritated. And my line is always, when you ask my wife, it's always, I'm not getting a ticket because you're in a hurry. Sorry, you should have left 10 minutes earlier. Right? And then they'd get there. And too many times we see people that don't want to follow what's right, and yet God says we're supposed to stay right. But the truth of the matter is that there will always be marks for the purpose of identification, and in many ways, they are a matter of safety. So what is the purpose for marking? First thing I would say is they're able to identify those that are teaching contrary, right? It's good to know when you're sitting under the preaching or teaching of the word and you can automatically detect that they're not teaching properly. They're not teaching what the word of God says. And I always like when I'm listening to recorded messages of preachers, and they all say, I have nothing in Scripture to back this up, but from all the studying I've done, I believe this is, and they'll say that. Other preachers will get in their on their soapboxes, and they'll tell you what their opinion is, and then say, thus saith the Lord at the end of it. You have to know that what is really the Word of God and what is man's opinion as they're doing that. So we need to know when they're teaching contrary. Think about when you mark something as radioactive or hazardous or flammable, right? You mark those so that you know that there's danger involved with those things, right? Dynamite. You want to make sure people know that it's dynamite in there and not some of those things that, you know, water. I probably wouldn't mark water as hazardous, right? As long as it's pure water. Nothing contaminated it yet or anything. But dynamite, I would probably want some kind of sticker on there so people know what they're dealing with. And so we need to know that. And then some of these reasons we do these things is to avoid at all cost the harm that would come from them. Obviously, you don't want to walk into a room that's full of radioactivity and not be with the protective gear on, right? You just don't want to do that. And so we need to avoid those things. And then in the end, what we really want to do is we want to avoid those that are teaching the wrong stuff so that we ourselves are not deceived. And then one of the greatest ways of being deceived is not to truly know what you believe. Can't even tell you how many times I've come across people that have a good testimony of salvation. They have no idea other than they were told the King James Version of the Bible is the one they use, so that's why they use it. Okay, well, there's a good backing for why you use it, right? Well, I was told to. That's going to be easy to sway those people to a different version because they don't know why they believe that. Why do you believe in the blood atonement? I don't know. That's what they tell me I'm supposed to believe. That's not a good reason. That's easy to sway those people because they don't know what they believe and why they believe it. We have to be careful. I can't tell you over and over and over, I've talked to people who use different versions of the Bible, and all I have to do is explain why the King James is the one they should be using. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, tomorrow I'm going to get a King James version of the Bible. Now, has that happened 100% of the time? No. But it happens more often than not. Because they don't know. They've just been handed a version of the Bible and said, this is what the... They don't know why. And so it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. Other things we are told to mark is the Word of God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 18. Jeremiah 23:18. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word, who hath marked his word and heard it? So we're supposed to mark the word of God. This is where everything starts and ends. I always tell people there's got to be a final authority, and that final authority has to be the word of God. If you're using anything else as the final authority in your life, get rid of it. It's got to be the word of God. If you're going to be messed up in your doctrine, it will come from not marking God's word, not knowing exactly what's there. I like what Paul said in to the Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. Hebrews 5:11-14, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We have to understand that we need to know what the Word of God says. We need to grow so that we're not still in need of the milk of the Word, that we can deal with some meat of the Word and know what the Word of God says and apply it to our lives, right? We're not supposed to remain babes in Christ for our entire Christian walk, right? I mean, it'd be terrible if we had children and they stayed just on, you know, milk or formula or whatever you want to, you know, what people are using these days for that stuff. But whatever it is, you don't want them to stay on that their whole life. You want them to grow up, right? You want them to know what barbecue is, right? You want them to grow up same thing with a Christian. We don't want Christians to be people to become a Christian and then stay as a babe in Christ. We want them to grow. We want them to mature. And when the Bible talks about being perfect, we're supposed to mature. People say, well, I can't be perfect. No, but you can mature. We can grow up, right? I know years ago when Heartland had their graduation thing, and their theme was grow up. So I have a shirt that my daughter got me from there when she was attending, and on the back in big letters it says grow up. And I just love wearing that, because when you're out in public and everybody comes behind you, it just says grow up, right? And then of course it gives you the scripture reference in the smaller around it, but the big letters is grow up. And you sometimes I just want people to just grow up. Right? We're not supposed to stay as babes. We're supposed to grow up. And by the way, let me just say, it'd be harder for people to cause division in churches if people would just grow up and become mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to do that. We need to know what we believe and be able to back it up with Scripture. People don't want to know what you believe just because it's your opinion. They want to know that it comes from the Word of God. Now, it's easy to spout off your opinion. We all have them. Doesn't mean they're any good. But the Word of God never changes. We got to be able to tell people what we believe because we have Scripture to back it up. Because it's God's Word. It's the truth that never changes. Have you ever noticed how sometimes our opinions change? I'm just going to say mine have. I had some different opinions of the Word of God when I first got saved than what I have today. I've grown in it. I've studied. I've walked closer with the Lord. I know more than I did when I first got saved. And we should. If we're at the same place spiritually that we were last year at this time, there's a problem. We should constantly be growing and learning. I'll tell you, the first time somebody tells me that they know everything there is to know from the Word of God, I'm going to call them out as a liar. Because there's no way we can know everything there is about the Word of God. And there's a lot of men that have spent a lot of years studying the Word of God. And they'll tell you, they still don't know everything there is to know. So then we need to mark the way of the wicked. Look at Job 22 and verse 15. Let me just say, too, there's no shortage of wickedness in the world. So the way of the wicked, look at Job 22 and verse 15. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden? We need to know. Without having a knowledge of the Word of God, you will not be able to identify the path of the wicked. I mean, it's very obvious to those of us who know what the Word of God says that the way our nation is going is contrary to the Word of God. But there's people out there that profess to know God that say we're going in the right direction. You can't put those two together. We are not going in the right direction if the right direction is according to the Word of God. And so we need to be able to know what that is and mark those that go according to evil. And then look at Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I have to tell you, when God's word says woe unto them, we need to pay attention. It's not because God's saying, you know, they're doing a great work over there. No, woe, right? What do you think of when somebody says woe? Put the brakes on, stop, right? Don't continue down that road. But we need to understand that in this day and age, that which we were taught, at least in my house, when I grew up, that which I was taught was right is now considered wrong. And that which was adamantly taught to me as wrong is now being called right. A person can get messed up pretty easily if they don't know the truth. They don't know the truth. And we need to be careful and watch. Let's not follow after the evil, wicked doers in the world. Let's not go after them. Let's not follow them. I found it interesting the other day that there was a deal, and this will show how people will follow after evil, wicked doers regardless of what they believe. And I shared this yesterday. Brother Fred and I had breakfast yesterday, but they had a survey of people who voted for our current president. They only polled these people. They had to have been someone who voted. And the question was asked, do you believe he should run again? 92% said no. That's a pretty good, trying to figure out what happened to the other 8%, but 92% said no. The other question that they asked them was, do you believe that his policies and all are good? Again, 92% no. Would you vote for him again if he is the nominee? 100% said yes. See what I'm saying? Even though they know evil, they know what's not right, they still will follow it. Oh, the other question they asked is, do you believe that the current president is running things? And they 92% said no. They believe someone else is running things. He's just a figurehead. But 100% would still vote for him. It makes no sense, right? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. These people don't care about what's right, because that's not what it's about. It's about being brainwashed into believing a certain way. And that's all that matters.
We cannot be brainwashed into believing a certain way. We need to know the way that God has laid out for us and follow the Word of God, no matter what. Even if it's detrimental to us from a human standpoint, right? It's never going to be detrimental to us to follow the Word of God. It's always going to be right. But from that human mindset, it might look detrimental. We still need to do it, because it's right. And then we're supposed to mark those who are a good example to follow. Look at Philippians 3:17. Philippians 3:17, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Follow those who you know are walking right. Right? I've seen people, they'll follow the leader no matter where they go. Once the leader goes off the deep end, it's time to no longer follow them, right? It's time to get a new leader, would be my saying. Get somebody that you could follow. But follow them that you know are following the Word of God. But don't follow after them that are going astray. They'll lead you to destruction. And by the way, let me just say, whether you like it or not, you're following somebody. You are, regardless if you like it or not, you're following somebody. And then turn over to Psalm 38:20. Psalm 38, verse 20 says, "They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that is good." So you start following the Word of God and you follow what's right, there are going to be people that aren't going to like that. There are going to be people that won't like you because of that. And what we have to do is learn a lesson I learned a long time ago. I don't care if people like me or not. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's going to be some people that aren't going to like us. Okay. But the desire should be that they all fall in love with the Savior. And it'd be good if we were giving them the example. And then we're supposed to mark the perfect man, Psalm 37, verse 37. It says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Lord Jesus Christ, let's follow Him. Let's only follow those who are following Christ. Let's not be led astray. I find it so interesting in this day and age that there's so many people in churches that started out holding firm and true to the Word of God, and now they've gone off a different direction. And yet the people that were there in the beginning are still there following the drift away. You know what I find when I ask them why they're still there? It's always the same answer. It's where all my friends are. But they left the Lord Jesus Christ. They left His Word. Yeah, but that's where all my friends are. So I guess you'll go over the cliff together, right? Does that make sense? And look at 1 Corinthians 11:1. I really like this verse. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He's following Christ, saying, while I'm following Christ, you follow me. In other words, if Paul quit following Christ, don't follow Paul. Right? As long as I'm following Christ, then yes, follow. But if I change course, you stay on the same course that follows Christ. The goal for a saved person is to bear the marks of identification of Jesus Christ in their body. People should be able to look at God's children and say, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're a Christian, and not what the world calls a Christian today, because everybody, I mean, it's like the popular thing these days. Everybody wants to be a Christian. I don't care what their background is. It's crazy. It's not like some badge of honor that everybody needs to... No, the reason they're called Christians is because they were Christ-like. And that's what we need. We need God's people to start being Christ-like and not let every little thing make us fly off the handle. Paul did this identification of Christ in his body physically through the persecution and spiritually through his life. Look at Galatians 6:17. Galatians 6:17 says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." He was willing to be persecuted for Christ. He was willing to be beaten, stoned, spit upon. I mean, it didn't matter. Paul didn't care as long as he could continue to point people to Christ, because Christ was the main thing. Paul didn't care if people liked him. Now, he wanted his, what we would call children in Christ, right? His followers that he had led to Christ, those people that he would call his children, he wanted them to love him as he loved them. We've learned that as we've gone through the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He wanted that love in return. Isn't that what anybody would want? I show you love, it'd be great if you would show me love in return. A parent, they love their children and all, and it'd be great if their children would love them in return, right? God loves us. The Bible says the only reason why we love Him is because He loved us first. Yeah. We should want what God wants. "Then let us not be ignorant of God's word, nor be deceived by those who are teaching falsely. And let us follow the path which is right by marking the wrong path and avoiding it." The problem is we have a tendency, like I pointed out in my illustration with the people who would vote for the president again. They've marked the wrong path, right? They know that that's not the right path, but they're still following it, even though it makes no sense. We know, right? The Bible tells us clearly, to whom much is given, much is required. God gave us His Word, so much has been given, much is required of us. We need to know what it says, we need to live by it, and we need to be the example for others to follow. Unfortunately, in this day and age, there's fewer and fewer people that are being the example that we can follow. And we need to do that. And then that's what I had for that, but I've got just a couple minutes. I wanted to share something. I shared it with Brother Fred yesterday, so he already knows, but I've been listening to a message from a man who was pastoring. His name's John Bishop. His wife's name's Donna. And it touched my heart, because in this day and age where people get divorced over the fact that the toilet seat was left up, or the cap was left off the toothpaste, or every little thing, this story touched my heart because Brother John came down with sepsis meningitis. He was in the hospital. He was sent home. He ended up back in the hospital. From the time that this took place in 1995, he has no prior memory. It's been totally erased. It's like taking a hard drive and erasing everything off of it. He has no memory whatsoever. By this time, he'd been married 24 years. He has three sons. At that time, they were 10, 17, and 22. He had to learn everything all over again. He had to learn how to eat. He had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to read. He had to learn how to walk. It was like raising another baby. He had no idea his name. He had no idea his children's names. He didn't even know his wife's name. Had no idea he was married. None of this. His wife, Donna, was teaching him, and he made this comment, which was funny. He said, every woman's dream is that her husband only knows the things she taught him. Right? She taught him everything. She had to teach him his name and her name. And she said to him, "You are my John. I am your Donna." He was standing there, and every time he referred to her in his message, he said, "My Donna. My Donna." Wasn't my wife, it wasn't Donna, it was my Donna, every time he referred to her. Donna was asked, "This must have been extremely difficult for you. How did you stay with him through this whole thing?" And she said this, "I made a vow. In richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for as long as we both shall live." She said, divorce was not an option. It never even entered the picture. It goes on from there. In 2007, John lost his sight. He can see about a 2-inch square through one eye. He's light sensitive. He has to wear dark glasses all the time. He's preaching. He took them off to put these goggle type things on that helps him to read that 2-inch square. John has a ministry today to the hurting people. Well, in 2008, I don't know if he's still, I'm going to do some more research and find out more about him, but his ministry is to hurting people, and he said hurting people are everywhere. But he said, going through airports and all as they travel, and he preaches different areas, says he puts one hand on Donna's shoulder, and he puts his blind cane on the luggage, and she'll just whisper, "Right, left, get behind me." And he knows exactly where in the crowd where he needs to be. And he said, one day God touched his heart and said, "Follow me like you follow your Donna." Just put your hand on my shoulder and let me lead. What a blessing. What a blessing. See, people, you have a choice. You get to choose to follow God or not follow God. You get to choose to love or choose not to love. The choice is ours. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that we would mark those who cause divisions and offenses and avoid them. Father, I pray that we would also mark your word, that we would follow your word. But Father, we'd also follow those who are following you. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish in the upcoming service, and we will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.